we appreciate the introduction. We appreciate the kind words, the freedom given to us, you know, in our nation to study the truth from God's word. Should be received, of course, with the greatest appreciation and the deepest and most sincere gratitude. These freedoms that we have, my friends, should never be taken for granted, but it should cause us to want to study, to want to learn, and we certainly commend all who have put forth the efforts to make this successful gospel meeting. Our aim, first of all, is to please our Father in heaven. Second of all, is to save the lost souls, whether they be out of the church or in the church, that maybe have fallen away, and then again, to restore those unfaithful ones to Christ and to bring others into obedience to the gospel is that which we should desire to do. In Mark 16, 15 and 16, we find him saying, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. My friends, that's to be preached in all the world. You know, it is certainly true here that the passages of Scripture found in the Bible show us a golden thread of redemption that reaches actually from Genesis to Revelation. That, of course, shows the grace of God in the redemption, the buying back from sin and its horrible end of hell that he does not want us to have. If you take grace, I read the other day where a man gave a word for each one of the letters in the word grace. And he said it was God's redemption at Christ's expense. You know, that's really true. And it is such an expense that Christ paid on that cruel cross of Calvary. So when we read the text of the Bible, let us remember that these are the oracles of God. And in 1 Peter 4:11, he said, yet if any man speak, let him speak as it were the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him minister as of the strength which God supplied, that in all things God may be glorified. Now, an oracle is an inspired word from God, and all divinely inspired commands are given in the text of the Bible. In fact, he affirms that in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, when he said, all scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. You know Paul's mission? Do you remember his conversions given in Acts 9, Acts 22, and Acts 26? Do you remember the fact that he says in Acts 26, we were all fallen to the earth, and I heard a voice saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for thee to kick against the goad. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, but stand upon thy feet, for to this end have I appeared unto thee, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of the things wherein thou hast seen me, and the things wherein I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I send thee, to open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the remission of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith in me. Oh, what a wonderful passage that is. What's Paul going to do? He's going to open their eyes. What's wrong with their eyes? Well, they have been deceived, and they have need for some eye salve there. You know the church in Laodicea in Revelation 3:18? You know, it was known that that's where the eye salve was invented. But he said, you need a different kind of eye salve. You need an eye salve for the spiritual difficulties your eyes have. So when we think along that line, we realize that our intentions, simple and sincere as they are simply helping, we pray, to see that people may see more clearly that which God has given. So in noticing this, as much as is possible, we want people to know the truth before the time when Hebrews 9:27 says we must die, and we want to go to heaven. We want to go beyond this land of sickness and sorrow and death. We want to enter into the beautiful city of God. So Jesus gave strong warnings about false teachers, preachers, false doctrine. He said, beware of false teachers, Matthew 7:15, who shall come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. And you know, in Matthew 15, when the disciples said, now, Lord, don't you know the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind, leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. What a plain statement Jesus makes here. He doesn't say their teaching will be cut off at the top. He says it'll be rooted up. In other words, there will be no teachings not found in the text of the Bible that men have come out with that will be allowed in the eternity of eternities. Well, 1 Peter 4:11 then means what it says. If any man speak, let him speak as it were the oracles of God. Let him speak those divinely given inspired commands, nothing more and nothing less. And Paul was going to go open their eyes so that they could see these things and understand. In Romans 13, we have our passages which we are looking at particularly tonight, when he said, hold no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time that now is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And he said, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, not as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness and chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not the provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Well, what a wonderful passage this is. It shows us that we are to declare and make clear what he wants us to understand, and that we're to help others understand it. And knowing that the time, that is the season, that now is time for us to awake. You know, it is wonderful to see the trees awakening and the grass awakening and all going straight toward the things that's come for maturity, because we have the springtime. And it knows that. And it knows that this is the time to awake. Well, we need to see the Bible and know that it's time to awake. We've spent enough time in darkness with Satan. We need to know that the day with Christ is at hand, and cast off the works of darkness. Be not deceived. Galatians 6, 7, and 8 says, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth unto the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So we understand we are to put on the armor of light. That is the truth. Jesus said in John 8, 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. So this 13th verse here in Romans, the 13th chapter, he says, let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting, drunkenness, chambering, wantonness, strife, or envy. In other words, none of those sins. Don't try to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why? Well, in Romans 8, 12, he said, brethren, we're debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And so it is really important that we put off those things which are a part of darkness and put on those things which are a part of light. It's a very interesting passage, isn't it, in Romans 13 here? It is a challenging passage by the Apostle Paul. The word sleep, how do you think of that? Well, if you just think in an earthly way, you think of those things which put you to rest. But it's used in inspired scriptures in different ways, isn't it? You see, the context is to be depended upon to identify exactly what that which he refers is given when he says sleep. Webster's, for instance, says sleep is a natural reoccurring condition of rest for the body and for the mind, during which there is little or no conscious thought, sensation, or movement, a period of occasion of sleeping, any condition resembling sleep, such as death, unconsciousness, hibernation. Well, man can be comatose, you know. That means he's in a deep unconsciousness that's caused by disease or injury or poison. But now notice there's a figurative way of using that sleep. In God's word, the Bible, it is employed as a symbol of death. You know, speaking of Moses' death in Deuteronomy 31:16, the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, that is idolatry. Whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me, and break my covenant or my agreement with them, which I have made. In 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter, verse 12, speaking of David's death, you know, he said, when thy days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. I will set up the seed forever after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, or their descendants, in other words, would be there, and I will establish his kingdom. In talking about Job's death, he said, why dost thou not pardon my transgression and take away mine iniquity? For now shall I sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be. Then again, of Israel, in Daniel 12:2, many of them that sleep in the dust, he said, of the earth shall awake, some unto everlasting life, some unto shame and everlasting contempt. Well, this, no doubt, is referred to by our Lord in John 5:28-29, when he said, marvel not at this, for all that are in their graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of condemnation. In Matthew 25:46, of the wicked, he said, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life. In John the 11th chapter, verse 11 through 13, these things Jesus said after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. Well, what was he talking about to the 12? Well, he's talking about Lazarus' death. Then said the disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken concerning taking rest in sleep. Well, also, sometimes it refers to indolence upon our part. We may be sleeping in stupidity and inactivity of the wicked. You know, that may be the way it's spoken of. If we're lazy, uncaring Christians, as we have found in our text in Romans 13:11-12, then we realize that we are spoken of as being asleep. You know, religion is used 5 times in the New Testament. It always means a system of faith and practice. And James 1:22-25 said, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, he said, wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the word of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In 2 Timothy 2:15, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 1 Peter 3:15, he said, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give answer to every man that asketh you a reason concerning the hope that is within you, yet with meekness and with fear. If we awake to our responsibilities in Christ, we're going to be able to say, these are the things God commands, these are the things men must do in order to be right in the sight of God. You know, the Ephesian brethren in Ephesians 5, he said, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, or very carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then to the church in Corinth, we also find him saying these things. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, that is in a wrong manner, the wrong thinking, that is in a careless, irreverent, wicked manner, he said he shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of this bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. What is he talking about sleep? Does he mean they just don't sleep except in the services? No, that's not it. He means they're spiritually dead. He means that they are separated from God because they're not doing what he commands them to do. All right, so our text in Romans gives us this thought. It says 2 things. First of all, we are to love all We're to have interest and concern in everybody. And second of all, we're to remember this with strong conviction that we're nearing eternity. You know, these things are nearer than when we first believe. These two things will cause us to live honestly, I believe. It'll cause us to speak the truth and nothing more or less. It'll cause us to seek peace with others and to be content. So we are exhorted to take a close, proper estimate of the time of our lives, aren't we? The ecclesiastical writer Solomon said, "This is the end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, to also give regard to the value of our time and its rapid passing. It is soon to come to a close. It doesn't take long, my friends, for life to pass us by." James said in James 4:13-15, "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will enter into such a city, and we'll spend a year there, and we'll buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It is but a vapor that appeareth for a short time, and then it vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or that." Well, to appreciate our time, my friends, to live here and to carry out our responsibilities to our Lord and King is one of the greatest purposes of life, isn't it? Previous times had been times of ignorance and darkness of sin, even in our lives, hadn't it? But Paul says, the gospel is God's power to save you now. So those who have not done what they should have done, those who are servants of sin and not servants of the Lord, purity will help you to overcome falsehood, oppression, and other sins that abound. In Acts 17:30-31, he said, "The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to come to repentance, seeing that he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the righteous by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he's given assurance unto all men, in that he raised him from the dead." My friends, because of these things, don't you believe it's high time to awake unto our salvation? At the beginning of a new day, we wake and start that new day, and it is a wonderful thing to be doing those things that are right and acceptable in the sight of God. But the world's been overtaken in false security and the slumber of heathenism and of sin, and many are lost. What are we going to do? They're in spiritual death. They're sleeping. You know, with the dawn of the gospel, the rise of the Son of Righteousness, isn't it time, my friends, and isn't it our duty to arise to walk in the purity of life as taught in the gospel? Romans 12:1-2, he said, "I beseech you, I plead with you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and the perfect and acceptable will of God." Well, have you done that? It's a very important thing to do, isn't it? It's certainly that which we must do if we want to be pleasing in the sight of God. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5 through 8, he says these things to our needs. "Let us, who are of the day, be sober," be sensible, in other words, "putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." This is showing what Christians ought to be and what they ought to do. And we are exhorted to live that life that Christians ought to live. No longer are we to walk in the depths of wickedness, nor lack of activity or insensibility, but we're to study and to prove ourselves right in the sight of God. Why? Because our salvation is nearer. He's talking about eternal salvation. For these had already obeyed the gospel, the primary principles. And so when he talks about this, he's saying that this is speaking of our death and the entrance into heaven, the world of light and glory. So we're to add all of the things that are necessary to our lives. He says it's nearer now than when we believe. Believed, of course, is a comprehensive term here that includes all the acts of primary obedience, hearing the word, believing it with all of our hearts, repenting of our sins, confessing the name of Christ, and be buried with our Lord in the waters of baptism. You know, eternal redemption and the splendors of heaven are at hand. They're near. And some today want to tell us their experience of conversion. Well, in the New Testament, all of them had the same experience in that New Testament. They had the same experience of conversion. They heard, they believed, they repented of their sins. They confessed the name of Christ and they were baptized. There was no mourner's bench, no sinner's prayer, no sprinkling or pouring, and no infant baptism, no better felt than total theories. No, just in Christ we're saved. Let us open our eyes and awake concerning salvation. In none other is there salvation. Neither is there any other name under heaven given among men wherein we must be saved. Acts 4 and verse 12. We thank you for your attention tonight.